Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Yes, it's time for the pin of shame. The pin of shame.
Was it shame or was it?
I don't know. It was supposed to be a crown of shame.
Crown of shame. That's what.
But then we had the pin last week.
Right, because we couldn't actually get a crown. We thought right. One of our producers had a one of these Burger King crowns, like right. In his car trunk or something.
And despite the girth of most people around here, we have not been back to Burger King since to pick one up.
That's hilarious. Yes. I played a show, right, back when I was doing the heavy metal band days or whatever. And I've never really been a thin dude, right? There are times in my life I was thinner than others or whatever, but, like, I've always kind of had a little bit of a beer belly, regardless as to whether or not I was drinking beer. So I played this show with a band out of, I think they're out of Montana. Don't quote me on that. But they're called A Balance of Power. They're still playing to this day. These guys are as old as I am, if not older. Maybe a couple of them are younger. I think they've changed drummers. Whatever. So I'm playing the show with those guys and another band that I can't remember the name of. I'll think of it later. But the majority of the people in the bands that night were men of heft.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, above average weight.
Sure.
Right. And so we play the show. It didn't have any sort of trendy nickname or anything like that. But we did end up calling it, at the end of the show, we ended up calling it Girth Fest.
Nice.
So, yeah, we had that going for us, which was nice. We should tell people what they're listening to, you think?
Maybe. Free Talk Live?
Okay. What is Free Talk Live?
Live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in and talk about whatever you want, but we will take the position of liberty and freedom and on any topic you decide.
Okay, very good. Do you know the phone number?
It's 603.
Shame! Shame! Carry on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We were just talking about the pin of shame.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've been here the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You just didn't see me.
Will you tell our listeners?
It's because I'm so small.
So
we know.
In order to...
I don't stand out.
No, you don't stand out at all. You just blend into any crowd that you're in ever, all of the time. There's never any, like, people who are like, whoa, who is that guy? Right? That never happens.
Completely unmemorable.
Yeah. What's the phone number?
603-283-6160.
Very good. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Beagles Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
We were lamenting of the pin of shame as the replacement for the crown of shame that never materialized.
I think the pin is right over there. I think I can see it.
Is it still in here?
Maybe.
It's like it wasn't, like, I sort of gave it away even though it wasn't mine to give.
It's reflecting a pink aura from the
desk. And so then I had to sort of,
there.
What's the politically correct term for Indian giving?
I don't know. I still call it Indian giving.
Like, I don't like calling it that because, like, that doesn't make any sense.
I think that one's still politically correct. Because it's just going in, you're just saying, oh, you gave it to them the way that we gave stuff to the Indians.
Is that what it references, though? Or, it, like, in my mind, it always referenced how the Indians would treat you.
It's how the Indians bought their land back.
And to me, it's wrong for either party to treat people in such a way where, like, here, man, I give this to you. Oh, wait, sorry, I'm taking it back. Right.
Yeah, the U.S. federal government is way more famous for that when it comes to, like, them and the Indians.
So it should be called government giving.
Yeah, it's
or
true.
Or federal giving or something more akin to that. Less, what do we call it? Less negative towards the Native
Americans.
What
an American giver, you know.
Oddly enough, we're just talking about Indian giving at work and also being gypped.
Now that is
currently
very
with a J, but it was originally with the GYP because it was a reference to the gypsies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they really did earn that one. It's part of their whole culture that it doesn't count as defrauding if you don't do it to, you know, human beings, which the only human beings are other Romani.
Well,
so,
I mean, like, part of it is negotiation, right?
And whether or not you like dags.
Well, I'm just saying that, like, negotiation is always like, hey, man, this thing costs $5,000. And then you're like, well, it's only worth, like, $500. Okay, I'll sell it to you for, like, $4,000. And the guy's like, well, yeah, I'll give you $1,500. Okay, I'll come down to $35. Yeah, all right, it's this negotiation process.
So that's part of haggling?
Haggling, yes, yeah. Haggling. Infamous from the gypsy culture is the word mark.
Mm. Okay.
And so they would have their bazaars, their marketplaces or whatever.
I'm not sure if that one's just gypsy culture, though. Cause, like,
I believe it originated
from gypsy culture. I mean, that one goes
gypsy culture.
Really? Because that one goes all the way through, like, every festival, carnival, circus, any kind of traveling entertainment thing.
What was the OG traveling marketplace?
Yeah, I guess. Good point.
They were the gypsies, right? So, anyway, for our listeners who don't know, the word mark comes from when people would go to these marketplaces. If somebody noticed that somebody had a wad of cash in their pocket, or they made, like, a big sale, right, to this particular person, on their way out of their tent or, you know, table or whatever it is, they would put their hand in some chalk and pat them on the back. And so now they had a handprint of chalk on their back, and they would walk around the festival with this mark, if you will, on their back, so that all the other vendors knew, hey, this guy's got cash. You know, this guy made a big sale or bought a big ticket item from me. He is a, quote, mark, unquote. That's where that comes from. And you're right, absolutely. Yes, that has permeated every type of bazaar, marketplace, flea market, carnival, any kind of that thing has been, you know, oh, yeah, that's a mark. There's an easy mark. Oh, that's a hard mark or whatever it is, right? There's different valuations for that mark. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you as a savvy spender, or unsavvy, depending on, you know, how you approach it, as to whether or not you're a mark, a hard mark, or an easy mark, right? Mm. What level of mark are you? Are you not a mark at all? Do you not shop? You know, all that kind of thing, so.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think a big part of it is, unfortunately, if you are a traveling whatever, and especially a traveling entertainment service, so you are incentivized to basically act as psychopathic or sociopathic as possible.
Mm.
So what has traditionally happened for all of human existence is that we punish each other for acting against our cultural norms.
That's why I don't think you should tip on vacation. At restaurants.
Wow. A libertarian that doesn't think you should tip.
You're not going back there.
No, specifically on vacation at restaurants. Like, I get your argument here because...
It is true that tipping while you're on vacation is just an unmitigated act of altruism and kindness and upholding the social fabric, and you, of course, have no interest in any of that. So,
none whatsoever.
So, of course, you'd just rather have your ducats.
But I see his point.
I don't know why you ever tip.
Like,
I mean, the probability that you will have the same server, I mean...
Well, when I was going to the same meetup group in Manchester repeatedly, we'd have the same server.
So you'd be like 10%.
So
I'm actually a good tipper, but I like making the argument.
Oh, sure. I get the idea, right? So I'm a local guy. I frequently tip wherever I go locally, restaurants, bars, you know, that kind of a thing. And, like, the places that I frequent, they know me, and they know I tip well, and so I get superior service. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You want superior service, don't be an a-hole, and tip well. Right?
But you're on vacation.
Well, and this is the argument that he's making, right, is that I do that and I receive superior service in return for being a known quantity,
mm-hmm.
right? But if I go on vacation, they don't know me.
You're right.
Right? I'm probably going to eat there one time.
Yeah.
Right? Whether or not I get superior service is a little arbitrary, right? Because I'm not a local. I'm not a repeat customer. You know, how are they going to treat me? Right? And, you know, that's going to really determine whether or not I tip and how much, right? So, if I get superior service, yes, I am going to tip while I'm on vacation. But if I get inferior service, no. You know? And if I get, like, the worst possible thing that could happen, right? It's only happened like twice in my life. I'm 51 years old, but I have left two pennies.
Okay.
Right?
Wow.
This is the message, right? This isn't like, hey, I'm going to complain to your man. Like, it's a... I guess it's passive-aggressive, really, when you come to think about it, but like...
It's like, you want them to know you thought about tipping and chose not.
Not only did I think about tipping, but I thought you deserved nothing. But instead of giving you nothing, I wanted to send you a message that you're horrible at your job, or at least you were to me and my table, and here's the message, right? That's the 2 cents. I did learn that from, like, my grandfather.
But you are incentivized... I mean, theoretically, to just not tip when you have even superior service.
When you're out on vacation.
When you're out on vacation.
When you're out on vacation.
Yeah, you don't have any incentive to tip well,
not really true. So it looks that way.
But to me, if I receive superior service on vacation, I'm tipping.
So, as the individualist anarchist, my best interest.
So there's two things. So some of us actually want to maintain, like, an identity as a decent human being. So that wouldn't appeal to you, Richie.
Who would know besides the
subject? You will. You know exactly what quality of human being you are, and interest in maintaining a self-image that is as a person who gives good tips on good service.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just not interesting to you.
So Jet is my theme song.
Right. So that does what it does to your view of yourself and your view of the world. So it looks like there's no incentive whatsoever. But there's also the fact that now you have to live in the world that is a little bit crappier because of what you've done to it.
I mean, if you're talking about, like, karmically...
Yeah,
maybe.
I was going to say, you think there's a karmic aspect to tipping?
Well, so I do absolutely believe that there's a karmic aspect to it. I think that there are ways that the universe organizes in a sort of behind-the-scenes sort of way that will absolutely bite you for every mean thing you do in your life. But even if you don't believe that, it still changes nothing about the fact that you have put this into the world. Now, that will have an effect on the person that you are interacting with.
But on a percentage,
they will have
an
interaction with other people. Yes. So if you've made their day worse, they're going to make other people's day worse. If you've made their day better, they're going to make other people's day better. And if you've kept it on an even keel, then everything stays on an even keel. It ripples out, and you have to live here.
Yeah,
so, like, for example,
here is
the world
is
in an absolute hellfire at this point. Everyone hates everything. Everything's political. Nobody gets along.
That's because no one was tipping on vacation.
Honestly, yes.
Way to go, Reggie Rich. See what you've started.
That is
how dare you perpetuate
little
this thing.
It's one little thing on a list of a whole bunch of other things that are just the slow but gradual decay of civilization.
Yeah. Ripples don't go on forever, though. They eventually peter out, or they hit a stopping point.
Energy is neither created nor destroyed. Waves are a form of energy.
It is only transduced.
Right. Okay. Waves are a form of energy. They don't ever actually stop. They just go other places.
Yeah, but the ripple itself eventually softens. As it goes, right? Waves get softer.
Oh, you're talking like dropping a rock in a pond.
Well, so here's the ripple people use when they're saying the ripple.
The ripples do dissipate over time.
Well, so here's the thing. If they encounter a wave that is in the opposite direction, then both waves will cancel out.
Okay.
Now, that's how this works. That's how a lot of things work. So, if, you get amazing service, like they know that they went out of their way to help you, you give them nothing.
Yep.
Or maybe even you just to be evil and get a little tickle, because you might be interested in getting a little tickle more than just two little pennies. So you leave two pennies just to, make the world a worse place for fun. A lot of people do that. Okay. Now, if that happens and another one of those things happen, then what happens with a wave, if you have it in the same frequency, in sync with itself, then you get a twice as high of a wave. It amplifies the troughs and the
okay,
peaks.
So, as a realistic example, if I'm on vacation, I get superior service. Mm-hmm. And in it, one of the things that I evaluate superior service on is, like, you know, did they get my order right? Were they timely? Did they check up on
me? How many times did they refill my water?
But that's not necessary. But, like, I also evaluate attitude, personality. Mm-hmm. You know, did they make me feel comfortable? If something went wrong, did they come out? And, like, were they like, hey, something went wrong, but, you know, your side order will be right out, right? That kind of a thing, right? Were they on top of it is really what I'm evaluating.
Right.
You know, and so if all of those things occur and I'm happy with the service that I got, I'm more than happy. I'm like, wow, this server's awesome, right? I will tip as much as 40%, right? Like, I will go out of my way to make sure that that person knows that they did a kick-ass job.
And that is putting that idea out into the world. Now,
right.
You are actively,
but at the same time,
rewarding
I have
human
already
behavior.
Admitted that I have left 2 cents on a couple of occasions. Right.
So now,
I will be extreme on both ends of that spectrum, depending on the service that I've received. How does that relate to karma?
Okay, so how does that relate to karma?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in your case, you are putting that giving and, like, basically you're making the world make more sense. When you make the world make more sense, that comes back to you. You come back to a world that, as you are rewarding it for good behavior, it's rewarding you for good behavior. Now, if you stop rewarding good behavior, then you're introducing more chaos to the system.
Do I get good karma for leaving 2 cents for the crappiest of service?
I actually think you do. I really do think you do, because you are, in that case, punishing bad behavior.
It's not intended to punish, right? Like punishment would be $0 on the tip.
Which is basically what you did.
In my mind. This is above and beyond that. This is,
right.
Hey,
in a different direction.
This is not just, hey, I left now, and I forgot to tip.
No,
This is, I am actively letting you know this was unacceptable behavior. You will not profit in any noticeable way, but you will be aware that I was able to tip you and chose not to.
Any form of tipping is an opinion, though, right? So it's not a fact, right? So, like, the same waiter, waitress, whatever, server, whomever, might, you know, service another table just as well or better than they serviced mine,
mm-hmm.
and that particular table might not tip, or they might tip less, or whatever, right? So, mm-hmm. as a server, how do you balance out the karma to balance out, you know, your paycheck, if you will?
Well, and that's, it's a numbers game, right? So, yeah, you've got someone like you who, on extraordinary service, will tip very well. Now, there's plenty of people who, even on extraordinary service, they will just tip their regular amount. So it's a numbers game. Now, if they are continuing to be rewarded for above and beyond service,
yeah.
they will continue to provide above and beyond service. And, weirdly enough, the fact that it's at random means that it will solidify in their patterns more completely for a longer period of time than a non-random benefit.
So,
like,
because this is the stuff
they find out with rats and, like, rewarding them for certain behaviors is that it lasts longer when the reward is random.
So because of the availability of extremes, right, mm-hmm. the availability of tipping nothing or 2 cents versus tipping, you know, half the bill, right? There used to be a movement online called tip half the bill or whatever, right? You know, that kind of thing. It was encouraging people to tip like half.
Probably started by
half
servers.
Of the bill, I'm sure. Right. But because of the availability of the extremes in both circumstances, that, you know, it averages out, because, you know, you're not going to just wait on two tables in a night. You're going to wait on 100 or whatever it is,
right?
Depending on how busy the restaurant is that you're working at or whatever.
So I've got another question for Peakless, because when we started this conversation, you said, I am shocked a libertarian that doesn't tip.
Yeah, that was sarcasm.
Okay, I get it. But have you experienced that amongst other libertarians, then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it is well, a
can you,
very unfortunate thing that I've seen all over the place in New Hampshire.
Wait.
But it is largely believed that, like, no, why should I have to do that? Just because it's socially normal? I'm not going to do a thing because it's socially normal. And that's costing me money to be socially normal. And
I'm
like,
it's those aspie libertarians.
Okay.
I'm of the opinion that people who are of that opinion have never been a server.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very frequently the case. They're like, you should have picked a different profession.
Which, you know, I mean, there's some argument there, right? Like, if you become a server and you suck at it, you're not going to make much money, right? If you don't figure out real quick how to provide, well, you know, good service and
weirdly
all that
enough,
kind of thing.
That is okay, like you were doing with the two pennies, right?
Yeah.
So if someone is doing abominable service, they will very swiftly not be paid enough to keep doing that. Like, if and only if enough people are still tipping. But if enough
people... But if it's culturally normal to tip no matter what, then you're rewarding abominable service, and they will continue onward.
Yeah, that's that is actually
right, the whole,
part of the degradation of civilization.
They shouldn't call it,
tipping,
in my opinion. They should call it commission.
Okay.
Because that is what it is. Like, there's difference. There's very little difference between what somebody who serves well earns on top of their, we'll call it, base wage.
So I've worked back
at
the house.
And the very little difference between that and, like, somebody who works at, like, a furniture store. They furnish these salespeople, like, a small minimum right. monthly payment, but it isn't unless they sell a bunch of furniture that they get the real paycheck.
Yeah, I've worked back of the house on commission, or partial commission.
Yeah.
So back of the house, we got a percentage.
Restaurant. Yeah, me too. I worked bus, I worked dishwash, and, like, at the end of the night, I got some cash.
But it wasn't from the servers. This was based on the sales of what was sold in
True.
The restaurant. Back
yes.
of the house split a commission.
Right.
And front of the house, they didn't earn a commission. They were tipped, which was whatever the
well,
customers
so
decided to provide.
I think there's two different things here, because when I did bus, I was tipped by the wait staff.
Right. I was not.
And so, like, basically, whether or not I cleared the, like, if a table got up and left, if I was right. on top of it, cleared the table right away, wiped it yep. down, you know, set it new, got all the crap out of the way so a new table could be set so they could make more, yep. right? The numbers game.
That's
right?
cultural within
so
restaurants.
So I would get tipped more as a busser for kicking ass at bussing the tables for the wait
right.
staff. And it was some, you know, if there were, I don't know, 15 people on the wait staff that night, I would get, I don't know, 2% of each person's tips or something
right.
like that.
But that was from the server staff.
Correct, yes, right. not from the sales.
Mine was sales from management.
But I would also get, for whatever reason, because there was a bar in this restaurant, I would
okay.
also get some weird percentage, like 0.05, you know, a half a percent
sure.
or something, of the bar sales, not the bar tips.
Yeah, okay.
So the bar tips were separate,
yep.
but somehow the busboy would get a percentage of the bar sales.
That would be commission, and the other thing would be tips.
Okay, all right.
As, if I were making a distinction.
Okay. Now, as a worker, as far as putting in the effort, I found no difference between doing an in-person sales job, like selling furniture, for example, versus doing bus work or waiting on tables. There's, like, the amount of effort you have to put in to get the money reward, to earn the amount that you need to keep yourself alive, was no different in either of those positions. So I equate them because the effort was about the same. 603-283-6160, still to come tonight, The Kill Switch. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
You USA News update. Patients and staff are evacuating Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, with a few remaining doctors attending to those too vulnerable to leave, as the Israeli military reportedly ordered staff to evacuate, a claim disputed by Israel. Accusations by Israel allege that Hamas uses Al-Shifa for military purposes, a claim denied by Hamas and medical officials. The UN is urging Israel to provide access to the medical center for an investigation into conflicting claims. The situation raises concerns about the impact on medical care for vulnerable individuals in Gaza. House Republicans are making surveillance footage from the 2021 Capitol riot public. Speaker Mike Johnson said Friday that over 40,000 hours of video from the U.S. Capitol will be uploaded to a public website over the next few months. This decision aims to enable Americans to witness firsthand what transpired on that day. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yes, come on and listen to Free Talk Live. Yeah, we have content for you 7 nights a week from 7 to 10 p.m. on whatever radio station you're listening to us on right now, and or over at Free Talk Live, and or over at watch.freetalklive.com in case you prefer the video version, and or over at lrn.fm, and or over at twitch.freetalklive.com, and or a bunch of other places that I can't remember off the top of my head, so that's all the further I'm going with this.
And all those places 7 nights a week, except maybe the local radio station you're listening to it on.
Yeah, there are
radio stations carry all 7 nights.
And some of the radio stations will do what we call rebroadcasts. Right. So
Nowhere carries Free Talk Live 7 nights a week. Like, we don't do that anymore.
Free Talk Live, the show, produced by Free Talk Live. Right, is still 7 nights a week. The live version of Free Talk Live happens 4 nights a week.
Right, so. But not all radio. If you want to hear all 7 nights of content,
yes.
One of the nights was like Liberty at Night, and one of the nights
Okay, here, let me lay this out for not only you, but also the listeners who might be confused as to what we're talking about. Free Talk Live for
the brand
for the longest time was three people sitting in the studio taking calls between 7 and 10 p.m. 7 nights a week. That has evolved into Free Talk Live, three people in the studio taking calls live four nights a week. Those nights are Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So that's when Free Talk Live is on.
That is when the live version of Free Talk Live. Now, Free Talk Live has welcomed in a number of outside of this studio content producers.
To the Free Talk, Talk Live pre-recorded, as it were.
The Free Talk Live family of content, if you will.
Of pre-recorded content.
Correct, yes. So on Monday nights, we have a specially produced show from Ernie Hancock, of Declare Your Independence, or DIY, as we like to call it for short, or DYI,
okay.
Declare Your Independence. On Tuesday nights, we have Liberty at Night, and then on Friday nights, we have Liberty Conspiracy.
With Gardner Goldsmith.
With Gardner Goldsmith. And we're happy to have that guy on. And in fact, last night, nice segue, by the way, last night he had Eric Peters of EricPetersAutos.com on his show, whom... Richie, you and I were talking about this before the show.
Big fan.
I got introduced to Eric Peters Autos from, like, reading Lou Rockwell.
Yep, same here. I'm pretty sure that's where my introduction was.
And I think, like, once a month or something, Lou Rockwell would feature something. Eric Peters, for those who don't know, is an automotive guy. He's a gearhead. He likes working on cars, and he does that. That's kind of his thing that he does for money or whatever. He works on cars and writes about vehicles. But he's also a libertarian.
Right.
And so he will write very libertarian-leaning articles that are sort of spawned from his experience as an automotive mechanic or somebody as an expert in his field. He's been doing it for years. And his tagline is always, throw it in the woods. Right? Like, if it doesn't make any sense and it has no value to you.
So I know you made the segue, but I want to rewind a little bit to the Free Talk Live thing. Yep, we'll get back. We'll come back to it.
All right.
Those three other shows are for radio broadcast on stations that carry Free Talk Live.
Correct.
The live shows.
Right.
So if there are radio stations that carry us seven nights a week, they're going to carry...
That used to carry us seven nights a week.
No, they still do.
Yeah, there are radio stations
they don't.
That do.
They carry us four nights a week.
No.
And they carry the Free Talk Live family, Free Talk pre-recorded...
I mean,
three nights a week.
You're nitpicking, so I'll let you be right.
Yeah, it's a semantic.
So it's a semantic.
It's
the idea
still free
of
talk
the show
live, the brand.
Is that it's Free Talk Live.
Okay.
That like we free talk,
again,
but it's live.
You can stop there. I will allow you to be right because it deviates from the point that I'm driving at.
Mm.
So you can have that one. Golf clap for you. The point is the radio shows that carry Free Talk Live
yes.
and the Free Talk Live family, according to Peakless. May not carry all of those.
Right.
So if you want to hear all of that content,
yes.
it may not be on your local radio station, and you should look into any of the other options that Captain listed off.
Such as freetalklive.com, for
example. There you go.
And so if you do, perhaps you subscribe to our RSS feed. Perhaps you are an amplifier. What's an amplifier, you might ask?
Well, another great segue.
An amplifier is somebody who helps Free Talk Live advertise, market, promote, and support. Yes, that spells amps. But you can find out all about that over at amps.freetalklive.com. Essentially, becoming an amplifier allows you to give some money to our organization that allows us to get this program and the Free Talk Live family of shows onto more radio stations than we're currently on. Right now, we're on something like 180 radio stations at last count, and we could be on more. We could be on 200. We could be on 250. We could be on 300 radio stations. None of this is out of the question. It's all up to you. There are some little perks that you get for becoming an amplifier. So if you go over to amps.freetalklive.com, we only ask for $5 a month. That's the silver level. There's a gold level and a platinum level and a diamond level. There's a bunch of, there's like some extraordinary levels that no one has ever signed up for, like the, you know, the big, like, I don't know, like I...
Unobtainium level?
The unobtainium level. Yeah, I don't know that that's actually a level, but...
Vibranium.
Yeah, stuff like that. But, like, there have been some, like, pretty big givers over the years. So if you think that...
If you give us one Bitcoin a month, you become adamantium level.
If you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the content, the callers, the perspective that we bring of freedom, peace, prosperity to the airwaves, to the show, to human beings in general, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. I want to say thank you to Anthony Casaretto. Anthony Casaretto is a gold-level amplifier. That means he gives $10, double the amount that we ask for. We only ask for $5, but he gives $10 a month as an amplifier to help advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. So thank you, Anthony Casaretto. We appreciate you and your contribution to what we do. I firmly believe that becoming an amplifier is, as Mark Edge might say, the best use of your Liberty dollar. So, moving on.
Segue back
to
Eric Peters.
Let's not move on. Let's move back.
Segue back to Eric Peters. Eric Peters on us.
Yes.
So, Gardner and Eric had a conversation last night, and they did talk about what we're about to talk about, the kill switch.
The kill switch.
The kill switch. What is the kill switch? Are you familiar with this?
No.
It shuts down your car without your knowledge or consent.
Yeah, so it's been going around the internet that tucked inside of some recent bill that was passed by, you know, the...
I think it's a bill that already tyrants. Passed that they were trying to recall. Was Thomas Massie trying to recall?
They're trying to defund this specific portion of the bill is what's happening now. There are several articles about this that exist now and a bunch of online commotion.
Brouhaha?
We're hearing chatter.
Okay. The fact checkers have weighed in.
So we're going to go with this article from ActivistPost.com. Fact checkers are gaslighting you on the Fed's vehicle kill switch mandate. November 2021, former U.S. Representative from Georgia, Bob Barr, wrote a little-noticed political column claiming that buried inside President Biden's $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure legislation was a dangerous provision that would go into effect in 5 years. Marketed to Congress as a benign tool to help prevent drunk driving, the measure will mandate that automobile manufacturers build into every car what amounts to a vehicle kill switch, wrote Barr, who was the Libertarian Party's nominee for president in 2008. Wait, wasn't Ron Paul running as a Libertarian in 2008?
No, he was running as a Republican.
As a Republican. Okay, thank you. It was the previous when he ran for as Libertarian, right?
In the 70s.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Or an older campaign of his. Anyway.
All right.
Like most Americans, I had never heard of this alleged kill switch until a few days ago when Thomas Massie, a Libertarian-leaning Republican, he's either a Libertarian or he's not, proposed to strip the mandate's funding.
I mean, you say that, but you just referenced Ron Paul. Well, what would you consider Ron Paul? He was a Republican. He had libertarian leanings.
Yeah, I guess
Thomas Massie is no Ron Paul, but the verbiage is
He's pretty darn close.
I guess you got me there.
Honestly, Thomas Massie has been amazing at like every single time that I hear about him, he's doing something awesome.
Okay.
The right to travel is fundamental, but the government has mandated a kill switch in new vehicles sold after 2026, said Massie. The kill switch will monitor driver performance and disable cars based on the information gathered. That's a quote from Thomas Massie, by the way. 19 Republicans joined and all but one Democrat in opposing Massie's amendment, which failed. True or false, the claim that the feds would mandate that every new motor vehicle include technology that could disable the vehicle seemed ludicrous. So I started Googling. This is the author of this article.
Because we know Captain doesn't use Google.
That's right. I use search engine of my choice. That being said, every now and again, I got to use the G. Just like...
It's higher quality
it's
results,
massive.
Man.
Well, I've found pre-search to be on the level with Google.
Pre-search?
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty close.
Is it pre-search.com?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But also, too, sometimes I will launch multiple search engines with the same search criteria and just see what the difference is between them and sort of aggregate them all together and be like, okay, this is the top story across all of them.
Yeah. That's kind of why I'm still on Google, because I've done the start page. I haven't done pre-search, never heard of it, but I've done the start page. I've done the DuckDuckGo. Yep. I've used whatever Brave has on the back end of their Brave browser.
The Brave browser.
Okay, yeah, see?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Honestly, that's been my go-to.
The Braves are?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
How brave of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Results may vary, because I go there and I go, this is not what I'm looking for, and then I Google it, it's like right there.
I've had that a number of times. I mean, sometimes it depends on the complexity of the search, right? If I'm like, restaurant near me, turn, you know, your sure. thing out, whatever, and it's like, okay, here's five restaurants. Like, a simple search, Brave will do the trick. But if I'm like, contextually specific, right? Like, what kind of cup liners do I need in my my cupcake pan for baking quiche? Right? Instead of, you know, like regular muffins or whatever. Right? Like, that's a little specific. You plug that
sounds
into
like a lot of typing.
You plug that into Brave, and it's going to be like, did you want recipes for muffins? But if you plug that into some other search engine that might be larger and Google. More popularly named,
I'll say it.
You're going to get like, oh,
glad you know who you're carrying water for.
Here's the top five, inserts you should use for making quiche in a muffin pan. You know what I mean? Like, it'll just, it's just a higher quality, but contextually specific higher quality, right? So it's kind of like your drink at Starbucks, right? If you're just searching for like one word or two, any regular search engine will do.
If but, these search engines were my server at a restaurant, I would tip Google.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't want to ever tip Google. Just because they ruined YouTube. I'm still upset about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not letting that one go. YouTube was an amazing, I don't have any other word for it, an amazing piece of technology that allowed every man, every person on planet Earth to compete in the world of video. And you used to be able to just go to the YouTube front page, and it would be just like, you know, here's a lady from Indonesia with a camera in her bedroom doing a funny video. And it would literally be like, now if you go to their start page, it's just all pre-produced content.
But it has spurned competition.
Has it? I think it's annihilated competition, at least on its own platform.
On its own platform, yes. But what I'm saying is other platforms have come up.
Really? In an attempt.
Oh, how are they doing?
Terribly.
Yeah.
Because, again, they're outmatched.
Yeah, because they're not getting government funding.
Okay. Well, or Google funding, which I repeat myself.
Right. Seriously, do you have any idea how much government funding goes to Google? It is absurd. Not to mention the carve-outs that they have in specific laws.
Yep.
Like, it is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Moving back to this article about the kill switch. To my relief, I saw several fact checkers at legacy institutions had determined that the kill switch mandate was not true. Our rating, false, said USA Today. Assessment, false, said the Associated
Liars.
Press. We rate it mostly false, concluded PolitiFact. Snopes, a reliably left-leaning fact-check group, was a little less conclusive, saying the claim was a mixture of true and false. Unfortunately, my relief evaporated once I looked at the bill itself.
Go to the source.
Section 24220 of the law explicitly states, and I quote, to ensure the prevention of alcohol-impaired driving fatalities, advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology must be standard equipment in all new passenger motor vehicles. Unquote. So,
see, this part I knew about.
As Captain Context, the only real like thing I can say about that statement is advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology.
What does that mean?
Well, if you take the word prevention out, you just read everything before it, you're thinking like advanced drunk and impaired driving technology.
You got to
like,
blow into the breathalyzer.
No, this
every
is
time?
Technology invented by drunks.
Oh, okay.
But no, that's not the case. Advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology must be standard equipment in all new passenger motor vehicles. The legislation then goes on to define the technology as a computer system that can passively monitor the performance of a driver of a motor vehicle and prevent or limit motor vehicle operation if an impairment is detected.
Who's monitoring this?
Indeed. How the system will make this determination is unclear. as is the government's potential role in apprehending suspected drunk drivers. There'll be more on that in this article later. But the law's language could not be more clear. New motor vehicles must have a computer system to monitor drivers, and the system must be able to prevent vehicle operation if it detects impairment.
How's it going to do that?
Oh, that's a good question. How fact checkers determined the kill switch narrative to be false is odd, especially since the articles don't deny Barr's central claim. The legislation mandates a computer system that will monitor driving performance and be able to disable motor vehicles. The AP conceded the law would prevent or limit motor vehicle operation if the system suspects the driver is impaired, or even disable the vehicle from being operated.
So the computer is going to determine this.
Right.
So did the USA Today and PolitiFact. They both acknowledged that that's what the technology is going to do.
So if you're zigzagging through potholes or avoiding deer crossing the street, it might look like you swerve.
Frogs, turtles, whatever.
Whatever.
Right, yeah. Yep.
And then, boom, your car just shuts down.
Maybe it shuts down. Maybe it only goes 30 miles an hour.
They discussed that in last night's episode.
Are you guys familiar with the automotive governor?
Yeah.
So this is a thing that they put in your car to prevent you from going above a certain speed limit.
Yeah.
I know of this because I did work in commercial transportation for a period of time where I drove a big white cube van. Right, full of magazines, newspapers, that kind of stuff. I was a relay driver. I would go to a central location, pick up a bunch of stuff, and then go drive this route and drop these off at, like, stores and drug stores and, you know, convenience stores, stuff like that. And there was a governor on the van that I drove. I could not go over 60 miles an hour, even if the speed limit was 65.
Mm-hmm. That's dangerous.
Right, but in my mind, but you kind of learn to drive like a grandpa at that point. Yeah. You're like, well, I'm going to just be in the right lane, and, you know, if somebody's up on your tail or whatever, you just kind of, hey, motion on, reach your hand out the window, like, come on, pass me, I can't really go any faster than this, so good luck.
What I know from my accident, it wasn't a governor, it was a moped, mm-hmm. which is, you know, restricted just by top speed for engine size alone.
Yeah.
Had I been able to speed up rapidly,
mm-hmm.
I may have been able to get out of the way of the car that was about to hit me.
Right.
But I could not.
Yeah.
And so translate that to any other sort of car accident you might be able to avoid by accelerating as opposed to slamming on the brakes, right? Like clearing an intersection as someone might be about to T-bone you that you saw at the last minute.
Yep.
And the car prevents you from doing so, you're in harm's way.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I, in fact, avoided what I believe to be a collision I was coming up on a, we'll call it a hill, and the road had one of these things where it splits off into two lanes. So that if there's like a semi, you know, that's driving too slow, it's supposed to get over into the right lane and let all the other traffic pass it, that kind of thing. And so this was happening, but the guy in front of me didn't get over in the right-hand lane. There were two other cars behind the, we'll call it the semi, and one of the guys got over, the other guy didn't. And he had been already driving erratically, braking for what appeared to be no apparent reason, swerving, et cetera, and so on. I don't know if he was high, drunk, or, you know, getting a BJ while he's driving around or whatever, right? Like, I have no idea what was going on, but, like,
we'll give him a pass if he was,
though. I was still endangering me, okay. Right? In my opinion, I'm like, I can't deal with this guy anymore. And so instead of passing him in the left lane, which I couldn't do because he was occupying it, I passed him in the right lane and then, you know, got around. And because I could accelerate quickly, or at least more quickly than he was, I was able to get around him and then pass the semi before the lanes reduced back down to one.
Yep.
I got pulled over for that.
Oh.
Because I went, I don't know, 12,
on the right.
12 miles an hour over the speed limit to do this maneuver or something like that, and then also passing on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got pulled over, the officer was like, hey, do you know I pulled you over? And I'm like, no. He's like, well, because you were doing like 12 over in this thing and you passed a guy on the right, you know, what were you doing? I told him. I was like, look, man, this a-hole in front of me was doing this, that, and the other thing. Everybody else got over. He was still swerving and doing his thing, and so he didn't move. So I was like, you know, to be safe, to avoid a collision, I passed him on the right. And the cop was like, oh, okay, cool. He ran my license, whatever, came back. He's like, thanks, have a good day.
Nice.
Right. So,
and put you right behind the a-hole.
Yeah. Now I'm
now
like,
I got to go pass them again, officer.
Now I'm like 15 minutes behind both of them, or all three of these vehicles, right? So, yeah, it was for naught. But, like, the fact that you can get pulled over for doing a maneuver that you deem more safe,
yep,
right, is just another illustration of why government doesn't deserve to exist. As
so,
an institution.
And I think really it was one of the terrible, terrible things that happened in the 70s, where they put the basic nature of the average citizen in contrast, at enmity, with the basic life of the average police officer. Used to be, we just didn't interact with them unless either you screwed something up.
Yeah.
And or somebody, including possibly you, called them.
Right.
Like, that was when you would interact with them.
Right.
And the rest of the time, you just left each other alone so that, like, they were actually useful when you were interacting with them.
Yeah.
Instead of just harassing people for money, which is a completely different dynamic. So instead of being tax collectors, which is what they are now,
they're a randomized
tax agent. That's all they are at this point. They will randomly take money away from people who aren't harming anyone. Whereas they used to, at least, you know, at least in theory, they would perform their job, or they would leave you alone.
Yeah. So in your case, Captain, there is a legal theory called the doctrine of competing harms. And if it is more dangerous for you to follow the law, you are allowed to break the law, generally.
Maybe that's why he didn't give me the ticket.
That could be why, and you could have easily made that case in court had he given you the ticket.
Which could be avoided if we structured our legal system for actual harm.
I get it, but this is part of their legal system.
Yeah.
You can use this in their court system.
To arrive at their conclusion, the article continues, that this car-killing mechanism is just a fantasy, fact-checkers resorted to sleight of hand. A common tactic was to debunk social media posts that were actually false or unfounded, like the popular claim that the systems would be required to alert law enforcement if the drivers were deemed impaired. None of the technologies currently in development would notify law enforcement, the Associated Press assured readers. More about the vehicle kill switch coming up. Hour number two of Free Talk Live is next. 603-283-6160.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.